I listed the top things that I dislike about being a disciple of Yeshua. Near the top of the list would be fasting. I don't like to fast. Yeah, I like food. I like to cook food. I like to buy food. Most of all, I like to eat food. I don't even like the name fast. There's nothing fast about it. To me, it always seems to go very slow. Do you know the word for fast in Hebrew? It's tzum. Same problem. Tzum, tzum, tzum. Sounds pretty fast, right? It's not. That's how they get you. However, when I was praying about which of the 100 remaining topics, discipleship topics, to preach on, I sensed that fasting was the one. And I was even looking over the list with my fiance Sonia, and she was looking at the topics too, and she said, "You know, I bet God will probably ask you to preach about fasting." And I said, "Oh, no." Well, perhaps Hashem had a lesson in it for me as I searched the scriptures to prepare. So in continuing with our series on being a disciple of Yeshua, the topic of today's sermon is, why fast? There are many reasons to fast, but today I have highlighted 5 distinct reasons why to fast that I found in the scriptures. So, number one is to confront a dead end, if you're keeping notes in your guided notes there. Number two is to face the enemy. Number three, to repent. Number four, to start a new journey. And number five, why not? So let's begin with number one, to confront a dead end. In Judges chapter 20, Israel confronts the sin of one of its tribes, Benjamin. And Hashem tells them actually to attack the tribe of Benjamin. On the first day, Israel suffers a great loss in battle. And then they encourage themselves and then in the Lord. And then the second day, they ask the Lord again if they should attack Benjamin. And they get the green light. Again, they suffer great loss. The third day, they fast until evening and pray again to Hashem, who promises to deliver the tribe of Benjamin into their hands, which he does. What is interesting about this story to me is that things seem to be getting worse and worse for Israel, even though they are praying and being obedient. Have you ever felt that way? Like you're doing all you can to follow God and things still aren't turning out? Imagine how the ancient Israelites felt, watching their friends and brothers die, weeping for grief, and then still going out the next day and fighting. When we have come to the end of our own understanding and strength in a matter, perhaps it is time to fast. A second reason to fast is to face the enemy. In the Tanakh, there are many battles fought against the enemies of Israel in which fasting and repentance play a key part. For example, in 1 Samuel 7, before battling the Philistines, the children of Israel repent, they put away their other gods, and they fast. But who is our enemy nowadays? Instead of the Philistines, we battle our own fleshly nature and against the principalities and rulers of darkness. Let's think about the enemy as our flesh for a moment. Now, when I say flesh, I don't mean your body, your physical body, because we shouldn't be fasting to starve our physical body, but I mean flesh in terms of our sin nature. The Shaliach Shaul, or Paul, maintains that we have two parts warring within us, our sin nature, the flesh, and our godly nature, the spirit. In Romans 7:21 through 23, Shaul states, "So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me." In the next chapter, Romans 8, verses 5 through 6, Shaul continues the same line of thought. Those who live according to the flesh have set their minds on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So, if our enemy is sometimes the sinful nature within us, fasting helps us set our minds on spiritual things. We get used to denying our flesh, our cravings, our hedonism. It causes us to grow stronger in the Spirit, in patience and self-control. Whenever I'm fasting and I think, I'm so hungry, I try to quickly add, hungry for your righteousness, to try to get my mind back on, you know, spiritual matters. I've noticed that I'm definitely more sensitive to the ruach when I'm fasting. It helps me starve the sinful nature and focus on the Spirit. A third reason to fast is to repent. There are many examples of fasting, along with God's people repenting and turning from sin. The most interesting one I found was the example of Ahab in 1 Kings 21, verses 24 through 29. Ahab was married to Jezebel and was one of the worst, most vilest kings of Israel. How do I know this? Because the passage said so. We pick up right in the middle of the judgment on Ahab. Dogs will eat those belonging to Ahab who die in the city, and the birds will feed on those who die in the country. This is the end of the judgment on Ahab. And then it says, there was never anyone like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel, his wife. He behaved in the vilest manner by going after idols, like the Amorites the Lord drove out before Israel. When Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and fasted. He lay in sackcloth and went around meekly. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself, I will not bring disaster in his day, but I will bring it on his house and in the days of his son. Even the worst, most sinful king of Israel, when he repents and fasts, is shown mercy by Hashem. If the absolute worst of the worst can fast and repent and find mercy, how much more can we, his children, find mercy when we stray? Fasting is an outward sign of what's going on in our hearts. Inwardly, we repent and submit to God's authority, and outwardly, we deny ourselves. Much like the Brit Milah, circumcision, or immersion in water. Fasting is an outward sign of an inward heart change, in this case, repentance. On the other end of the spectrum from King Ahab is someone like Daniel, who is a very godly prophet. Daniel fasts and intercedes for Israel because he recognizes that Israel has been exiled to Babylon because of their sins, and he pleads with God to have mercy. An aspect of repentance and fasting can be entreating Hashem, asking for forgiveness, intercession. Repentance often comes with turning away from other gods to focus on Hashem. Do we have other gods like they did during the days of the Israelites? Do we have things that we put before Hashem, the God of heaven and earth? You know the first thing I do when I wake up? Pick up my phone, maybe check my email, check out Words with Friends, see what's going on Facebook. Many of us have become addicted to our devices. Fasting from food can help us recognize this. Moreover, we can also fast from these other things. And for medical or personal reasons, a media fast might be more appropriate for some of us. We can fast from our smartphones, from YouTube, from Hulu, from Netflix, from Facebook, from Twitter, from video games, from Pinterest, from our computers, from our tablets, from our phablets, that's a phone tablet, from movies, from TV, from ungodly music, from anything that threatens our relationship with our Father in heaven. Recently, there was a show that I just really loved to watch, and on Hulu, but it was kind of a snare to me. And the images in the show, it caused fear in my heart. And I felt that the Lord was telling me that I needed to fast from that particular show. If we asked the Lord to show us any media that's become an idol, what would he say? For me, I think I'll try not reaching for the phone first thing in the morning. I was actually convicted during the liturgy today. It says, you know, think about the Torah when you lie down and when you rise up. And I was like, oh, when I rise up, that's right. I wonder if we could do a media fast as a community, maybe for the next 3 days. How would that affect our relationship with God? There's nothing like putting down an idol and repenting to hear clearly from Avinu Malkeinu. A fourth reason to fast is before starting a journey. Before he started his ministry, a Jewish carpenter named Yeshua fasted in the desert for 40 days. Before the Shaliach Shaul started his ministry, which brought the gospel all over the Mediterranean, he fasted. When the exiles returned with Ezra to Jerusalem, they fasted before their journey. In Judaism, a bride and groom will often fast just before the wedding and eat their first meal together during the secluded time called Yichud, just after the ceremony. They're beginning a new life together, an amazing journey, which I am also excited to be going on very soon. Is there some phase of life that God wants to bring you into? Are you about to embark on a journey? Maybe Hashem is calling you to fast. The last reason that I have for fasting is not a reason at all. I want to ask, why not? As in, what are the reasons not to fast? Yeshua and his disciples are criticized for not fasting in three of the Besorot, Matthew, Luke, and Mark. In every case, Yeshua gives a similar reason for not fasting. Let's look at the example in Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 15. Then John's disciples came and asked him, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" Yeshua answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and then they will fast." King David is also criticized for not fasting after his son dies. After David sins with Bathsheba, a child is born from their relationship. And so he becomes sick because of David's sin. So David fasts during this period. But then when he finds out the child has died, things change. So let's look at that scripture from 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 20 through 23. Then David got up from the ground, and after he had washed, he put on lotions and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and at his request, they served him food, and he ate. His attendants asked him, "Why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept. But now the child is dead, you get up and eat." He answered, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me." Thanks, Robert. In each case, there is a harsh external criticism that says, you should be fasting. Sometimes I think we even criticize ourselves that way. Fasting is not God's will. Every time we come to a dead end, face the enemy, repent, or start a new journey. We shouldn't fast out of guilt or because of what others will think. There's a grace to it, the grace of fasting. Yes, we entreat the Lord by fasting, but fasting isn't like a magical phone line to God's ear. As I mentioned before, just as being immersed in water doesn't actually purify us, but is a sign of the inner change, so too fasting is a sign of repentance rather than a formula for requesting things from God. God does not always call us to fast, but he does call us to repent when we sin, to cry out when we're at a dead end, to pray when we are faced with trials, and to lean on him when we are starting a new path. Why should we not fast if we're doing it under criticism or condemnation? Why should we fast? If we sense that he wants us to give up food or give up media for a while along our journey to help us focus on him, then we should be obedient to his voice. Let's pray. Abba, we thank you for your lesson